This is an MUT Radio podcast.
Gumang and the Breakfast Show, exactly, with Joshua Zee and myself, Sands. We do have our big brother here, Umdu, who is
Umdu's brother.
Exactly.
Hey, as Yam sees, because he always says I look 21.
You do.
No,
I don't
him,
lie.
He looks 21.
Oh, he
says,
does.
Thank you. Of course, I do.
He says he looks 21. Do you know how old this man is?
Don't say
that. What's a big
old
brother? He's your uncle. This one.
Is don't lie, Joshua.
Uncle is still better than Ubaba. You understand?
Yeah.
Umalume is better than Ubaba.
No, that's like Ubaba, JD. Ubaba, JD.
And my colleague, Esim Shengane.
Anyway, man, we do have JD right here in studio. And your first song is 50 Cent, I Get Money. Well, not the first, but the fifth song, actually, is I Get Money. Why that song?
Hey, that's the original hustler, that 50 Cent, Ebo. The things, I like people who break the norm, Ebo. And he did that. You know that 50 Cent is the ultimate selling hip-hop artist ever.
Sure.
Ebo. So, you know, the way he came into the industry and broke all the records within the club, it's still no one could beat that right now. Sure. With all the digital benefits, and he's still the holder of ultimate sales. And how he transitioned from hip-hop to TV.
He went down
and he still bounced back. So 50 Cent is a role model to me. I have to just be honest.
Nice. Definitely.
Please turn my headphones up, guys. I like it loud. You understand?
How's that?
It's better.
Better.
Yeah.
Miles better.
Top.
Ah, okay.
10 out of 10.
Okay.
I don't want to. No, it's like whispering.
You want to hear me? Yeah, you want to hear us?
I like it.
Are they doing radio?
She's got a sweet, soft voice, so I need to hear that. Amplified.
But I'd like us to take it back to this song, or back to the time of this song. Which came first, radio or DJ?
For me,
yeah,
DJ first. DJ came first.
Yeah. Okay. Now, also on your talks, you know, you always say, on your motivational talks, you were saying, Uguti, you always knew that you wanted to do radio. When was that point where you just knew, Uguti, actually, I'm just going to do radio and I want to do radio?
I was 13.
13?
Yeah.
Where did that come from when you were 13? Like,
you see, I'm one of those people who've been blessed. I have to be honest, you know. Everything that we achieve in life is ultimately the grace of the Almighty.
Sure.
So, Gegwenze Uguti, you know, when you're given a gift as a kid, you can tell a soccer player who's a promising star from even when they are 6 years old.
Yeah.
From, you know, when you notice that there's an unusual talent. So with me, I had an unusual love for music, you know, because by that time, you know, 93 when I was 13, we were still very analog, you know, we're using CDs and stuff like that. And I had a collection of music at that time, you know, 13, which was unheard of. I had a bunch of CDs, about a lot. Mostly that time it was about Kwaito. So that's how much I love music. I would take my savings and, you know, money that I got and buy music, you know. And I just, you know, by then my whole wall in my bedroom was littered with Abo, Bob Mabena, that time Glenn Lewis. Who else were the radio greats back then, yeah, well, Nabum Duma Silele, because I was, you know, music, it wasn't just the radio guys I looked up to, even I'm an artist. Duma Silele was a big role model of mine, so I had all those guys on the wall. So it was just natural, you know, no one told me, it was just something that just came. I didn't choose this field. God gave it to me.
That's definitely beautiful, man. And then how do you then get your breakthrough or your first radio gig?
First radio gig, remember that when you have a gift, you just keep on gravitating towards that particular industry.
Sure.
You know, from that love for music, got involved with guys in who had a sound system. We'd go and play music at parties and stuff.
Sure.
And then from there, clubs. This is like around 16, 17, you know? And then like that's when I met Abo DJ Bong, so Tira, when they were still DJing in the universities. Abo Big Spoo, he's actually from Umlazi, you know?
Sure.
We're all just going about, you know, playing the clubs and
playing
those
music,
shady Ama Tavern, you know?
Sure.
Yeah. So then I met a guy called and by the way, DOR started in 94-95. I remember, you know, the first time I went to DOR was in 1996. Nakona Futi, because we used to listen to DOR, Rebo.
Yeah.
I was a big Metro fan, but because it was local.
It was local,
and
yeah.
It was pumping. Yeah. Music. DOR at that time was, you couldn't touch it. Yeah.
Sure.
So I eventually started going there after school. It was at UKZN back then.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
So I used to just go there, and I remember the first DJ I saw there was who put like his fats. Yeah.
Sure.
He used to do the drive show back then, and I just could stand outside there and, you know, just wanting to be there, not knowing how. So I tried, and they denied me, obviously, because Bengse Skolo. And then eventually after school, I met U Hamilton, some guy, Manyoni, at DOR. And he said, there's this place, Mr. Price. Mr. Price. And I was so set on DOR. It was happening.
Yeah.
So when we went to Mr. Price, and when we got there to the head office, we saw how nice the setup was. I was like, hey, this is it. Because that time at DOR, we were struggling to hold mics in his hand. And when we got there, you must know, the thing about Mr. Price Radio, people don't understand, is that it's backed by a huge corporate that's
that's
making billions in profit. You understand?
Sure.
So that's why we were paid so well, better than even commercial radio presenters, you know.
Sure.
So that was my first break in Mr. Price. Saw potential in me and is like, no, Zwagal.
And
mentored me.
And apparently, even as Mr. Price, you started as a general worker and a caller.
Oh, listen,
working your way up.
Let me tell you how I got into Mr. Price. Yeah. When I saw how nice the place was, I just wanted to be there.
Sure.
So I'd go every day. Like, if this was the reception, I'd come every day then ask to see this, because I knew David was the man.
Yeah.
I want to see David. They'd say, no, he's not here. Come tomorrow. Gandhi Ukon all along. Yeah, bro.
Oh.
Come back tomorrow. Come back tomorrow. Because naturally, you know, people, like, you know, DOR, there's people always coming.
Always coming in, yeah.
Who are just wasting your time, excuse me. So David, maybe you just assumed it's one of those. And why, Loe?
Yeah.
So eventually, this is how it happened, yeah, bro. David was just, let's just say this is a reception.
Sure.
And here's David coming, Upeti Bikabo. And I just come and see him I was 19 back then. Let my appointment bang I has.
We don't care.
You just came, you just rocked up.
Just rock up,
So I see this guy carrying speakers. So I offered to help him, Yabo. Like, hey, let me help you, Yabo.
You don't know it's David Yap.
You know it's David Yap.
But you knew, see, the man is David Yap.
So obviously, you see someone, sound system, like my office in.
Yeah.
So I was like, hey, let me whenever
help.
I saw people in that space, I just.
Sure.
Always went towards them,
yeah.
So I helped him out, and David is a very nice guy. He's open, yeah,
sure,
Jay.
Sure.
So when we get to the car, like, oh, thank you so much, buddy man. I'm David. Who are you, yeah, So I'm like, I'm JD, yeah, So actually, you the guy been coming here all along to see me. Yeah, that's me. How long it's been? It's about a month now, yeah, wow. And I kept on coming back because the receptionist would say, come back tomorrow
for like a whole month.
Yeah.
29 days, yeah. So it's like, if you're that serious about radio, then I can work with you, yeah, So it says, come back on Monday. Just come straight to the studio. Don't worry about the
reception.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then I did that. Yeah, so then he said to me, look,
wow,
we can get you to shadow and you know nothing about radio. I know nothing. So
sure.
You can come and sit down, shadow. And if you like it, you can come once a week, spend an hour here. But from that Monday, I was there at 7 o'clock, and I left at 5 in Ntambama.
7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Sure.
He said I must come in at 8 because the show you should start at 8, Lapa.
Sure.
So I came at 7, eagerly awaiting.
Sure.
You know when you love something?
Yeah.
So I was there. So for 9 months straight, I was there from 7 o'clock in the morning to 5, Dambam.
Sure.
9 months straight. Without a day. I absorbed everything. I should go and make tea, whatever, anything.
Anything.
Then eventually started. See, because La Paya, there was two studios, yeah,
There
was one where the presenters worked, and then there was a spare one, which
no one seemed to be using.
I was like, but it's a training studio, but no one's, I'm like, how?
Wow.
So I just practice mixing, practice presenting. So I'd sit and shadow and then go and practice.
Go and practice.
Yo.
Saturday, Sunday, footy, there was no one there, Jay, at all. So I literally just spent 9 months, Jay, practicing and everything. So that's where I actually learned how to mix so well, because they had everything, you know,
everything,
your beat mixing systems.
Sure.
And I just figured things out. David would show me the basics and I'd shop and I'd practice. So that's literally my foundation for radio,
Wow. That's amazing.
Self-taught.
I was very shy. You know, when I came, Lapaya, I had no sense of confidence. Like this JD, you know, now.
Sure.
David, Lapaya, they taught us all of those things, you know, how to pronounce, how to speak, how to believe in yourself. I was good in music that time, mixing and stuff, but presenting, it took me 6 months to get over the fear of speaking on the microphone. Yeah, well. So at some stage I thought I wouldn't do it, but David knew what to econ and it's no, come back tomorrow.
Sure.
Get it. So eventually, yeah, well, that's the benefit of the mentor. Yeah, well, you can see
that
things.
That's true.
So and eventually I got it and then I just never looked back after that. Yeah, well.
That is definitely amazing, man. That is definitely amazing. Now, Gagasi FM calls for the first time and they want you there. And you decline, when
let me be honest with you.
Why?
No, you see, the first thing, remember when you're on community radio, like even with yourself, they know about you. They would call and we'll speak. Yeah, but like program managers or program manager will speak. This guy, then obviously, based on who you are, we'll give reference. Even if I give the best reference, but they're still touching and feeling. And there's a lot of presenters everywhere that they're looking at.
And they're checking everywhere,
So that was the first time, 2006 is when Gagasi first, you know, put out feelers for me to say, okay, this guy, you know. And then 2007... I went to Joburg, I was looking, trying to get into YFM, so I went, spent the whole year there. You know, after being so established in Durban.
In Durban, and, you know, with going there, Red Cap Radio.
I was very established, I won't lie to you. I mean, I bought two cars by then.
Yo.
But I won't lie, no, it was best holiday.
Red Cap Radio was best holiday, was bro. Paying you serious checks.
Plus, I was getting gigs on the side. That time I was
DJ
making
gigs
a
boomer. Well.
5,000 per gig, yeah, well. This is over and above good paychecks.
Good
and,
paychecks.
Yeah, well. So it was nice. Yeah,
you were making serious racks.
No, he was.
I did. You know, by the grace, I did get a good taste of money. Yeah, well.
Sure.
So then I went to Joburg looking for greener pastures. And, you know, before you go up, you go down.
Sure.
Things just went south in jail. So then you said, Jose, I got a call from Umar Kosi back then. He was also in the programming department.
Sure.
2007, he's like, hey, I got a gig for you. So I contemplated, then I came back. Because Vele, the whole year, Jose, and it wasn't opening up to me.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. Then I came back, went on air. I don't mean to be speaking bad about him, but unfortunately, I went on air for about a month or so. And then, you know, he said no for some reason. They were supposed to hire a female and whatnot.
Sure.
So unfortunately, we can't proceed. So, you know, just like that, you know, then I had to
start again.
So then I went back to David heard that I was back in Durban. Because when I left on good terms. Like, look, I want to go and pursue.
Sure.
So he's like, Greener heard pastures. I was back. He's like, no, come back. There's always room for you here. So I went back, even though it was hard. Because some guy said, Jose, it's not going to work. Yeah, well,
It actually didn't work. Now
so, but David,
back,
obviously, being a leadership, is like, hey, Zwalo. And I know what it is to be a hustler now. Yeah, sure. Boy, you fail, Vale.
Sure.
So I came back, reestablished myself, and, you know, quickly then the following year. So after reestablishing myself with Mr. Price Radio, we also opened up a radio station for Transnet Port Terminals.
Oh, David and I,
you know, it was a corporate project, made some good money there. And then I was doing a Nokia National Roadshow where I produced a show, MC, DJed for it, coordinated a whole national promoted thing, Jay, which that was my highest paying gig ever. That was my highest paying gig ever, Yabo. It was a massive 6 million rand budget gig, Yabo. Around the country. Yeah, well, so obviously that wasn't all my money, but you got a very fat check.
Yeah,
that was that gig just put me out there. Jesus.
Sure,
I won't lie.
Sure.
So it was during that time where, you know, fair enough, radio was paying well, but I mean, I'd make a radio salary in a day. Yeah, well,
with gigs,
all those gigs. Yeah. So when Prophet came to me, I was like, hey, Prophet, you know, last year you guys messed me up, and I'm not interested. Besides, you won't afford me anyway. I honestly said that. No, I used to be very arrogant.
JD!
You know, I won't lie. You know, that's one thing. I was very radical, Yabo. And I didn't care because I knew my worth, Yabo.
Sure.
Which is good.
So definitely.
He's like, look, when do you finish your show? I said around September. He's like, no, come and see me when you're done. I didn't bother.
Yeah.
So he called me in September. He's like, what are you up to? I'm like, I'm so pushing, Yabo.
Yeah,
you done with the show? I mean, yeah, I'm done, but I'm still doing other things. He's like, come see me. So I went and saw him. And I won't lie, I did want to be obviously on Gagasi, but it's just a good tea. I was upset, you know.
You were upset because
what happened?
Sure.
He's like, look, I'm not going to do that. you know, Vale, I didn't do it, so there's room for you here. We want you, you know. Oh, and then by that time, Puta, I had won this other Battle of the DJs competition.
DJs competition, yes. Yes, with MTN and East Coast.
Yes, MTN and East Coast Radio. So there was a hip-hop category and house category. So basically, the hip-hop guy won ultimately, but in the house category, it was way bigger.
It was way
I beat everyone, basically.
I think it was about 200 DJs.
Yeah, I beat everyone, Jay. Literally. This is radio and DJing.
And DJing.
Yeah. So then, obviously, there was a lot of attention around us then. And then that's when East Coast wanted me, and I was like, no, I want Kakasi. So then I went and sat with Prepared, and then he's like, you know, we came to the negotiation. And I remember, like, what my colleagues were getting at that level, I asked for 3 times more.
Yo.
He said, yeah, okay, sure.
Yo.
And that's how I got to Kakasi. And I really pushed it, hey, big time. And that Kakasi, I must give credit. Sure. That station, yo, I wanted getting there, my gig rates doubled. Got more gigs, deals. That was my prime.
And Vele
Futhi, I was 28 back then.
They are paying you 3 times more
per hour. I'm talking about per hour.
Per hour, yeah.
Yeah, than what my colleagues were getting.
Mm.
You know, when you're in demand, you can make demands.
Sure.
This is what I want, and I'll do it. It's like, okay, sure, it's fine. Then we worked. And Baim Sloop, I don't like Prepared because I don't like following rules. I think you know me.
Yeah, I know.
So he wanted me to do it. I said, no. When you just tell me what your numbers are, your targets are, and leave
let me do my thing.
And I'll do my thing. But begum stress a lot, because you know they try to keep it very formal and you know formula. Get me a Prepared. If you say you want 500,000 rands, how I get it's not your problem.
Sure.
And I'll always do more than targets. So yeah, but JD, you don't understand. There's a procedure,
protocol.
And I used to make my own jingles and whatnot. You know, I
sure get someone,
bring guys to come into studio.
Sure,
get kids to do. Hi, this is
JD. So cute.
I get Nigerians to come and do their Nigerian accent. You know, anything. It was just so busy, Jay. And it was very entertaining, and people loved it. But Prepared always tried to get me back online. You see, these things you're doing, that not allowed. And Prepared, but it's nice.
Just relax. People are enjoying it.
So eventually, after the third year, is like, So he didn't want to renew my contract. It's okay. No problem.
It's cool. Yeah.
Well, I had too many things anyway. And life went on. We didn't have any bad blood because it was a business decision. And I couldn't conform to rules. I couldn't, you know. So I was like, okay, I'll do my own thing anyway. So I just carried on doing my thing. I went to became brand ambassador for Richfield. Back then, it was PC training,
yeah.
Then after that, there was a national gig to Nakon.
Sure.
So there I did a whole lot of campaigning for them on SABC in Nigeria. It was massive, yeah. Then now we went to Vuma FM after that, blah, blah, blah. Then I ended my career at Vuma FM.
Yeah.
In 2015.
Okay.
Officially as a presenter.
Probably the busiest man in entertainment. Durban July Residency, South Sea Roadshow, Metro FM Awards, After Parties, Residency in Havana. You know, you beat about 200 DJs in a DJ competition. And MTN is here also with the Roadshow. At this point, like, how are you managing all of this?
One, two. I thought for some reason the microphone is off. But it was just being very focused, you know, and I learned this, you know, from Mr. Price, actually. You see, the good thing of coming from that background, yes, to Mr. Price Radio, is that they didn't only teach us radio, they taught us business as well. Because before, radio, it's a business. So we were involved in the sales and marketing.
Oh, yeah.
So I learned from business executives who ran national operations how to manage a business.
Yeah.
So as a presenter, you are a business.
Sure.
So there was a skill that I had, and I was able to discover my niche and, you know, build that. And so that's where I got the skill from, Mr. Price. I'll credit Mr. Price for a lot of, and David Yap, you know, shadowing him, not just only on radio, but also in business.
Also in business,
you know, how he, as you see, how he used to charm clients, and, you know, he was very smooth with his tongue. So I just literally picked all those things up from him. I'm like, okay, this is how it's done. Let me try. And I used to practice over the years, and eventually,
And
I used to close. So I learned to manage all these things through my exposure to Mr. Price.
Nice.
Yeah, that's it. Nice. It was very hectic, but you know, the skill was there.
Mm.
Nice, nice. So now, with all of these things, and also radio, because I think also from 2005 to 2012, that's when you also at some point in 2011 to 2000. 2008 to 2011, you're doing Gagasi Top 40 as well with all of these things.
Okay, I'll tell you, it was Gagasi FM Top 40, Mr. Price Radio, Mr. Price TV. It was Moses Mabhida, official stadium announcer
yeah.
For the World Cup in Petemi in Lapa.
Sure.
It was Transnet Port Terminals Radio, Club Residency. I was ambassador for numerous, who was it, like Abo Salsi, Nokia's, and some of them. Look, my profile just puts highlights.
Sure.
There were a whole lot of things.
Other things,
like I'll bump into someone, somebody like him, all, hey, remember, in 2010, we did this thing for somebody like Vodacom. Like, it was a lot, eh?
Now,
it was a lot.
With all of those things, now focusing on radio again, didn't you have like aspirations of like doing big commercial, like national radio?
I did.
And just going Kampe on, you know, your SABC.
Metro FM, I really wanted to.
Sure.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, unfortunately, if it doesn't come by 35, I will just leave the industry. So
why 35?
Because, you know, personally, I feel that radio is an art form. It's very competitive, and, you know, you need to evolve a lot in the space. It's, I've seen now, it's not like working in company in Le Tamba or something.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Let's leave corporate. I mean, it's not like I go on a FM where you can just come and
Count
at 20 or retire at 65.
It
requires a lot of creativity, you know, modern thinking, current interventions. So now, when you're in your 20s, it's easy for you to adapt to all of those things. Eh, well, well, when you get to your mid-30s, you kind of, you see sports, music, entertainment, modeling.
Yeah.
Those careers generally, in you reach your peak by mid-30s and you need to like bounce. Eh, well,
yeah.
Bow down and leave the next guys to do it.
To do it, yeah.
So that's why, yeah, because I don't want to see myself as an old man saying, long depend on good radio salary. Like what one of my colleagues was doing, La Petit or Ariabo.
Yeah.
It's stupid. You look stupid.
Sure.
I don't want to look stupid. Imagine me competing against you guys now. I wouldn't win that war. Maybe I'll have more experience and what, but the creativity you guys have, you know, the way.
Sure.
When I was on radio, there was no social media and so forth. And
yeah.
The content was different to what's required now. No. So I must keep on adjusting. You know, it's too much work.
It's a lot of work.
You understand? So I'd rather not do that. I'd rather just grow. You know?
The thing, Robert Marawa said, with regards to like radio and presenting, basically, you get better with age.
You do.
So I think, my perception is when you get to 35 and you move from 35 to 36, you are getting better with this radio thing.
Look,
with the skill.
Repetition is the mother of all skill, ne?
Sure.
And yet, so anything you do over and over again, you will get better at. However, I keep on saying, Minuguti, instead of you sitting there for 20 years,
sure,
you eventually get boring. Yes, you may get better, but at the end of the day, you're going to be Robert Marawa.
Oh, yeah.
How about the new... Now, imagine now, if new talent wasn't coming up, you know, how would you know, look now, what's happening at Gakas? There's Luan Lemasoga, Owen Kulimbata. These are all fresh people.
Fresh blood,
There's you understand? Who, I know, sooner or later, you're going to burst into the commercial space.
Sure.
And now imagine if you keep on suppressing you. You understand?
Mm.
We need to give you, because the radio is a very small industry.
Sure.
So we need to keep on rotating, like, have a term of service, 4 or 5 years, bow out, and then... You know, do other things. You know, that's how I feel.
Sure.
It should be. Because if we keep on holding, you know, as Lapo, then we're depriving new talent, creativity, who will take it to a whole nother level.
Oh, yeah. I definitely hear you. Now, so Ivala Galea Radio, too much radio for now. But there's a game. Which one must go? So you must pick one person who must go. And these are people who are still on their presenting or are still on their radio. I want to see how you're assessing the new landscape or this landscape that we're currently in. So which one must go? Babi Moloyo or Dineo Ranak?
They're very different people, ne?
Yeah.
Dineo Ranaka is more like your Luan Lemasoga kind of ghetto,
kind of vibe, yeah.
Pabi Molo is more like your Nkulimbata.
You understand? Yeah.
So it's a hard one. You know, if you said maybe like, I don't know, man, you know, but I prefer I'd say Bobby Malay must go.
Go salute Dineo right now.
Yeah, because Dineo is ghetto. You know, I like that freedom vibe. You know, Bobby is too serious. You know?
Sure. That's definitely what I wanted. Now, these ones are both very big in the scenes, and they're still doing it. Anele Mdoda or Bonang?
Who must go between the two?
Yeah.
Anele Mdoda.
Anele Mdoda must go. No way.
And he didn't even hesitate.
He didn't.
You can't even compare those two people. Bonang is on another level, Buffett.
Bonang is on another level, but Anele Mdoda is great.
But you cannot compare Anele Mdoda and Bonang.
Kanjani.
They're just two worlds apart. They're two worlds apart. That's like 1,000 and 100.
Bonang being 1,000.
Bonang being 1,000. I mean,
guys, the accolades speak for themselves. Yeah. I don't have to even tell you who's where and who did what.
Sure.
You understand?
Sure.
Anele is just pushing on pig. It's that's like saying compare me to DJ Fresh.
Yeah.
As hard as I pushed, but come on, that's obvious.
Yeah. Talking about DJ Fresh, let's settle this. This four, one must only pass Gule Fole. So you pick one. It's DJ Fresh, Thibaut Touch, Garrett Cliff, Fat Joe.
Hey, Thibaut Touch is a legend, bro.
That's a good answer.
Thibaut Touch
is the legend these ones.
He's the most radical. And remember, I'm radical.
Yeah.
Fresh, he was creative and, you know, out there, but he was put more on the formal side.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
His presentation style.
Sure.
Touch breaks the rules, you know.
Yeah.
He breaks the numbers.
He breaks the norms.
Yeah, everything. So anything that's against the status quo.
Sure.
I'm for that. Don't give me anything normal.
Jay. Oh, yeah.
I will... Jay,
sure.
When you tell me this is what you want and here's the path, I'll create my own.
Nazog, number one. Now, for any radio presenter that is listening right now, what are like three key things you would give them as Uguti? These are the things that you need to know. These are the things that you need to carry as an upcoming radio presenter to make it through the industry or to keep in the industry.
Top three things.
Yeah.
You need to be the hardest worker.
Sure.
Over and above your talent.
Mm.
If you don't have talent, I won't even talk to you.
Okay. Yeah, well.
Yeah. And then with your talent, be the hardest worker.
Yeah.
And when I mean, some people don't know what it means to work hard. Yeah, well.
Sure.
They just don't know. Because I don't know what it is to push.
Mm.
You know, if you are in a space where it's your gift, you don't have to be reminded to work hard. You don't have to be.
Yeah.
Because it's your gift, it's your passion, there's nothing else matters to you. So let that be the foundation first.
Yeah.
Don't come and do radio because you want to be famous or because someone said you have a nice voice.
Because
you think you look fly and whatnot. Yeah, well, have the foundation, the gift, and then work hard. Perfect.
Yeah.
And in this day and age, you need to offer value to the station more than you expect to get value from the station. What have you got to bring to the station, then that's when they'll keep you.
Oh, yeah.
Sure.
Now, Fetu, you've groomed quite a lot of talent and you've put a lot of people on. As we're speaking right now, Abasagaza, Abapumagwe, and I think it's four of them have now been recruited. Jebazokala, Njongo Bakalu, April. And there's also one now who is on Metro FM.
Yeah.
Of a number of them, since you started being programs at DYR, of a number of them also, like, How do you groom such talent into, you know, commercial, into making it? Because I think even programming in such a way, I think it's talent or something. Like, what is it that makes you that good in terms of like grooming people and making sure they're really making it out there?
Firstly, I'll tell you it's a gift.
Yeah, sure.
Over and above what I do, it's a gift.
Mm.
And there's a lot of grace into this thing because some people try and they buy Sulaga. Because when I came to the current position, it was in shambles. I won't lie to you.
Yeah.
It's a gift, yeah, well. I look for the first question I ask, and I'm sure I ask this to you as well.
Yeah.
What are your top three career dreams?
Sure.
As you are here,
I remember
and if
question.
You don't say radio anywhere there, then
just
then
forget about
it's
it.
Not make sure then. Yeah, well, then I'm not interested. Then if I know that you prepare to die for this, then I can work with you. Then it's not just the technical side and the presenting side.
Yeah.
The other element that I have that's unique for me is the way I've been taught. I put in a personal development touch to it. Like I help you believe in yourself. I help you set goals.
Sure.
You know, I'll help you push beyond what's your limit. If you think you're going to give 10 hours per week, I want you to give 25 hours per week. And then I paint a picture about, Yabona, if you do this and this and this, here's where you could end up.
Sure.
But if you stay like this, Yabona, like conversations I had with you, Lufus,
yeah,
for example.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I told Wa last year this time that this is going to happen.
Sure.
You know, when my colleague said to me that, no, a certain person should be an admin, I'm again on air.
Yeah.
I can see potential even before it manifests itself to be evident that this will work out to the end.
Yeah.
I can see it. It's a gift.
Sure.
You understand? And then once I see that there's a gift, then ngizohlala kuwena. So long as you're working with me,
yeah,
I will steer you in the right direction.
Now, what's next for UJD?
I have a huge passion for property, ne?
Sure.
And I've been, you know, even while I was still a presenter, learning about the field and pursuing it. So now I've got apartments that I manage eMhlanga.
Nice.
Self catering,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So I wish to have 6 more this year.
Nice.
And the other thing that I want to do, I still want to stay with DYR.
Yeah.
There's a whole lot more. That's my legacy,
yeah.
I'm not done yet. You know, I wish to help build DYR to be at a state where it's stable, you know, we can retain some talent and also continue developing talent for the commercial world.
Yeah.
Say for another 4 more years maximum, you know, that's what I see, you know, radio, I'm going to stay with DYR.
Sure.
You know,
and
but not just only building presenters,
also the station.
The station, you know, the facilities, the infrastructure. The team. I want to bring in a whole lot more people, you know, in terms of HR, in terms of finance, you know, open the platform for other kids to come and intern as well who want to have corporate careers outside of radio.
Yeah.
So that's my vision for this year.
Man,
that's beautiful.
An hour is so small talking to this man who has done a whole lot. I'm sure you can definitely tell from this hour that we just spent. We couldn't get to the other 3 songs because Mbonelukuthi na. So shall we cut? But anyway, tell us.
Let me choose again.
You have him do Umazola.
Obvious.
You have Prince KB, Kukuletu, and then the first one, you have AKA Lemons to Lemonade. Tell us about those 3 songs. Why?
Duma Cyril, as I said, was my role model.
Sure.
In the 90s as I was growing up.
Mm.
And he's another guy who, as far as Kwaito is concerned, no one did it like he did. Nobody.
Yeah.
That's the reason
why
to this day, Umdu is still relevant.
Sure.
Umdu is doing interviews. He's being booked. You understand?
Mm.
Which other Kwaito artist from his era is still relevant?
Sure.
You don't even know Basapilo.
You
understand? Things are bad, but out to late because he worked so hard.
Yeah.
He invested in properties and so forth. You know, I'm still in touch with him. So, AKA, obviously, Lemonade. That guy is another legend, Lamzanzi.
The
way he pushed, you know, if there's a commonality, you know, there's something synonymous between all these artists.
All these artists,
picked. They all, so, you know, like Izolinger, I posted Iverska, Nasty C on that track,
Lemons Lemonade.
Hey, I think they killed it, man, you know.
They definitely killed it.
The international standards, you know, AKA Nasty C, that combination. Hats off, and may the brother rest in peace, you know. I feel we were robbed of so much more that he was going to bring.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And everyone who he's inspired to become great.
Yeah.
Salute to everyone, wishing everyone way more success, you know. And the other one was Gonjo Bani.
Prince KB. Google it.
Prince KB Mvetu. That's, to me, he is in the top 5 producers in the country.
In the
right
country.
Now. Yeah, top 5. You know, ever. Okay. Not just now.
Not just now. Yeah. Ever. Yo.
Top 5 producers.
Yo. Anyway, speaking of like top 5 producers and DJ Prince KB, do you see yourself like doing some a DJ gig somehow? Maybe at least like once.
That's what I still wish to do, you know. I know I can. I get invites, but you know, I want it to be, you know, obviously a big gig, and I want it to be deep house because that's what I can mix the best.
Yeah.
That's what I mix the best.
Mm.
And you know, deep house, and like I can play gom, I can play hip hop, but Deep house
is your residency.
That's my thing. And you know, it gives you a feeling, man. You know, when you go to a deep house gig.
Sure.
But I'm telling you, the way I can mix deep house, I can blend music in such a way that you wouldn't even know there's a transition between 2 songs, 3 songs. It was also just a kalenge. Literally, that's what I can do best. And no one can beat me in that. Not in the country. Nobody. Not even Black Coffee. Because Black Coffee skill, he's more nuktail and nanani.
Sure.
When it comes to beat mixing, nobody will beat me. I can challenge anybody. in this country.
Please come back.
Anybody to Fresh used to always salute me. Oskido used to salute me. Glenn Lewis used to salute me. The time when I still had my residency in the club.
Yeah.
Or DJ Spoo, they know. They
man,
know.
Man, yeah, I have a burning question, but we only have a minute, man. I have like a burning question.
I'll give you a short answer.
Okay. Do you feel like you could have done more? And do you regret not doing more?
I could have done more. Yes, definitely could have done more.
Yeah.
But I made my decision, so it is what it is.
JD, thank you so much.
Bongamin.
Nazok.
This is an MUT Radio podcast.